The podcast you are about to hear contains adult themes, including, but certainly not limited to, bloody, sexy imagery, profane enthusiasm, gay giggles, and horror film spoilers. If this lewd behavior will displease you, feel free to exit this podcast zone. If you're unsure, check out the overture to get a taste of what's to come. If you're definitely sticking with us, strap in and let's go.
Season 2, final episode. Air horns.
Whoa, air horns callback.
Air horns callback. Welcome everyone to the final fucking episode of season 2 of Final Girl Standing, the podcast.
What? It's finally the finale.
Let's fuck it up, fam. And to get us kicked off here on this final episode, let us introduce you to this incredible podcast that we are about to bless you your ears with. Before we get into this final epic fight that we will be doing today, let me introduce the two iconic hosts who host this podcast. It is I, Alyssa, the final girl who doesn't always feel like a girl, and I am joined by...
I'm Jessie. I am a co-host. I feel like a newsie. Wait, is that what we just said? It's fine. Anyway.
Yeah, you feel like a newsie is your gender.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, perfect. Awesome. Well, welcome to Final Girl Standing, everyone, the podcast where Jessie and I take iconic final girls from horror movie fame and pit them against each other in a March Madness style bracket to see who will be the final girl standing.
Final Girl Standing.
It is a podcast about final girls. And it is good.
Okay.
So this week is a special week because it's our final episode. And on our final episode, if you are from last season, if you remember last season, if you're still here, still listening to the pod, then you remember that on our final episode, we bring in a guest star referee to referee the final fight between the two iconic final girls who will be duking it out today. And Jessie, who are the two iconic final girls who will be duking it out today?
We have Miss Caroline from Little Monsters and Mia from Evil Dead 2013. But we need some extra wisdom in the room, some horror wisdom to help us figure out who the queen's going to be.
Exactly. And that is why we have enlisted our good, good friend that we just met a mere moments ago. Raina, welcome to the podcast. What's up?
Hi, hello. I did not expect an introduction like that, but I'm with it.
So Raina, everyone, is someone that we know through our good friend Prince Jackson. Raina is a really cool horror nerd, horror ally, as Jessie would say. And I wanted to give a little bit of a pedigree for Raina. Raina is the lead game critic at Bloody Disgusting, and also is a columnist for Fangoria and has created so much horror content over the years. And we're just so excited to have her expertise here on the pod with us. So, Raina, please introduce yourself.
Jesus, when you put it like that, it's kind of hard for me to follow up. But yeah, like you said, I am the lead game critic over at Bloody Disgusting. Any video game review that goes out lately, it's written by moi.
Hell yeah.
I also run the Buzz column over at Fangoria, which is a weekly Yellow Jackets column styled after a 90s tabloid piece where I recap and basically speculate on each episode of Yellow Jackets weekly.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, so I don't know what else much I can say. Raina, I promise I'm very humble. I promise that. It's like, oh, I
you are.
I only write for Bloody Disgusting and Fangoria.
No, in this pod, we hype ourselves up to the maximum. Yes. There, you don't have to have even a shred of like any kind of like shame or humbleness. We put ourselves on the highest thrones.
Exactly.
Okay, then so. I can say
we think
that. I can say then also that, like, I like to call myself a slasher movie expert, so I'm really well-versed in the, like, final girl trope.
That's a girl after my own heart, Jessie.
Wow, I'm so excited. This is the perfect referee for this fight.
Okay, before we even dive into, there's just one more thing we need to know about Reyna, and that is, what are her astrological placements?
Oh, shit. Okay. So, does anybody have a chart they can look up real fast? Or do you guys...
Yes, you want...
I'm on it.
Go, Jesse, go.
Give me that... give me one moment to pull up the thing, and then we're gonna get these deets.
We're gonna get those deets. We're gonna get the astrological placements, because it's important to know.
I would say so. I mean, I mean, I didn't know my last partner's astrological signs, and now we're exes. So go figure.
Well, sometimes it happens that way.
The stars were not aligned.
No, they were not in that particular area of my life.
Okay, Reyna, I'm going to need your birth deets. Okay. Nope, doesn't sound good. I need your city, state, and country.
Do you need,
first.
Oh, city, state, and country? Kaiserslautern, Germany.
What?
Yeah.
You were born in Germany?
I was very much born in Germany. I'm a military brat. My dad was in the army.
Ah, very cool.
Wow. This is iconic already. Okay, ready? What's your actual birthday, month, date?
Okay, this is where I reveal that I'm 30 years old. It's
Oh no. Yeah. What does that
reveal?
Yeah, reveal.
What does that mean?
I usually don't like advertising that I'm in my 30s now, but go figure.
We can cut all of that out.
Yeah, we'll cut it all out.
If you don't
want
to share it's fine. But it's fine. I'm also going to be 29 in 2 months. So we are right in this.
You're
in the zone.
Right around my age.
Yeah.
January?
Unfortunately, yeah. I am a Zoomer, so I apologize.
Yeah. Alyssa's the bebe.
That makes a lot of sense. No, I'm kidding.
Okay, so you said January?
January 6th, 1993.
Oh my God. Okay.
I'm so excited.
And the time.
I don't know the exact, but I was born around 2 a.m.
Okay, cool. That's close enough. Oh my God, I'm so fucking excited. Oh my fuck. Okay. So you are. Oh my God. Alyssa.
What?
Okay. She is a Capricorn sun and a Gemini moon.
What?
Yeah, we're not kidding. Libra rising. Ugh, that's intoxicating.
That's an incredible mixture of astrological placements, Reyna. You are welcome back on this podcast anytime.
I was gonna say, I don't know what any of this means.
Okay, so high key, you have two of the same very big placements with Devin, who is also the introductory person to this podcast, who does the little voiceover at the beginning. She's a kindred spirit, a soulmate for sure, but she's also a Libra rising Gemini moon. So,
and I'm a Gemini sun and a Capricorn rising.
That's right. So it's a really good mixture. Ooh. In here. Oh my God, your Mars is in Cancer too. So is mine.
Cute.
So anyway, yeah, so cute. your Mercury's in Capricorn. It's no wonder you're such a successful human, because literally, Capricorn is the sign of future planning and success. And I don't know, it's the earth sign and it takes action. So,
moral of the story,
iconic.
Reyna is an excellent judge of character, an excellent judge of final girls, an excellent judge of human beings. And we're glad to have you on the pod. Thank you for being here today.
No, thank you both for having me. I'm learning a lot about myself already in this pod, so this is interesting.
Thank you for trusting us with this astrological information. We really appreciate it. Now, you probably, since you are an expert on slashers and the final girl trope, you're probably familiar with what it takes to become a final girl. But I'm going to go over the criteria we used to choose all the ladies that have been in the bracket for season 2. So let's get into that. First of all, a certain number of people have to die in the film besides her. She has to survive the movie. She's got to be a key player in eliminating the threat, the one left to tell the tale.
So romantic.
It's so romantic. Embodies the spirit of the final girl, the spirit. And franchise girls are going to get their own bracket. So, Lori, Sydney, we're going to get to them hopefully season 3. What's up? Okay.
Our goal is to get that season 3, so everyone keep your panties on. We're going to do it, I promise.
I know. We are excited just like you. So, and then finally, most important rule is that we reserve the right to break these rules at any time and select any girl that we want. So this season, however, just for context, Reyna, first season, we did not follow this like at all. And there were multiple people who broke these rules, multiple girls who had died or were in a franchise anyway. But the this season, we have stayed true to form, which is why Miss Caroline and Mia both fit the criteria.
Ooh, I can't promise that there won't be any rule breaks here. I'm like, damn, they made it all the way to their finale just for me to smash that shit up.
Well, they can die in this podcast.
Yeah. So, the goal is that one of them is going to be dead by the end of this episode. Point.
Okay, okay.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm with it. I'm with it. I totally respect the criteria. And it seems very that the brackets were very well thought out, even though I don't agree with one of the eliminations. But here we go.
You can tell us all about that because we need to hear what your scores are
for these final girls. Ladies.
Ooh. Like, for all of them? Off the top?
No, so, okay.
No.
I was like, oh my gosh, I am so unprepared for this.
Go for it.
So, no, okay, so this is the final episode where we're having Mia from Evil Dead 2013, and we're having Miss Caroline from Little Monsters Fight, which means that we want to hear your scores, opinions, thoughts, feelings about Miss Caroline and then Mia. So let's start with Miss Caroline, because before we even started recording this podcast, you told me your hot take about how you don't think Little Monsters is that great. So why don't we start with Miss Caroline and your thoughts on Miss Caroline?
I think that aside from Lupita in this movie, that this movie doesn't work for me on almost any single level. I think I think she's such a great actress. She can take a movie that I'm not into all that much and make it totally worth watchable, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's the power of Lupita Nyong'o.
For real. I mean, just look.
Yeah, it's the power.
I mean, just look at her in Force Awakens. She made that watchable. No, I'm kidding. Sorry, Star Wars Day. I promise that won't happen again.
It's literally May the 4th. How dare you?
But yeah, it's just I find Little Monsters to be just kind of a forgettable movie aside from Lupita, which if you look at like the general public consciousness about that film, the film is mostly forgotten. It's people are reminded, oh yeah, Lupita was in that, but you never really hear it talked about all too much anymore. Whereas the opposite with Evil Dead 2013, I don't think people have stopped talking about that damn movie since it's come out.
Well, also you are like have some bias because you like are in love with Evil Dead 2013, and you're welcome to talk about that too.
Okay, I don't. I'm like, wow. I'm like already calling a bias on the ref, but okay, that's super chill. My standing with Evil Dead 2013 is I personally believe it is the best Evil Dead film. I personally also believe it's the first Evil Dead movie where the true vision and idea of Evil Dead was brought to life. I got in an argument with many, many people on Twitter over this. They're all like, no, Evil Dead is supposed to be campy. And I'm like, listen, the camp in Evil Dead 1 was not fucking intentional. It was not.
Yeah.
It was meant to be a serious, scary horror movie. And Evil Dead 2013 is the first one that, like, truly nails that feel. And does, honestly, it's crazy when a new one can come out this year and I walk out going, like, holy shit, Evil Dead 2013 was crazier. And that came out over, like, 10 years ago.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's a movie I'm very passionate about. Little Monsters is a movie that I love the performance in it. That's about it.
That's good to know. So when it comes to these two final girls that are in these movies, obviously you have a bias towards Mia because, you know, you're obsessed with Evil Dead 2013. But like when you rank these two girls, like in sort of their ability and their skill set, where do you think they fall? How do you think this fight is going to go down? Obviously, we are going to break down the fight momentarily. But before we even get there, what are your kind of thoughts about going into this fight? Who's got the edge? Who's got the skill?
Well,
you know,
I mean, I'm sorry. Not only did Mia shove a chainsaw in the face of the abomination, she also ripped her own arm off to save herself.
She did rip her own arm off to save herself. That is something that we need to talk about, though, for this fight, because Jesse and I have talked about this idea that last time we fought her, we didn't have her having only one arm. She had both arms in last fight.
Okay, I have thoughts on this.
Okay.
Which we fucked up. We definitely fucked up, mm-hmm. but from the previous episode. Uh-huh. But I will say that finale, classically, we go in, the girls are at their 100%, meaning like they do not have any injuries sustained from previous fights. Technically, she lost her hand at the end of her movie, but I don't know. We didn't honor that, and I feel like I don't know. I feel like we should go with the current theme that we have going. But
I think we should turn it to the ref. Reyna's our ref. Reyna, does she have an arm in this fight or does she not have an arm in this fight?
Oh, both of these final girls are at 100%. They got the juice in between matches. They are both equal level playing field.
Okay.
Okay. And does she have her hand?
Does she have the arm? We need to know.
Fuck, that is tough. I'm going to say yes, only because she mostly loses her arm near the end of her story. So for the majority of the movie, she has it.
Okay. That's it. She has an arm in this fight.
And if anybody's going to at us, it's Star Wars Day. So we can say she just has a really technically advanced prosthetic that's just like Luke's.
She's got Luke's metal hand from Force Awakens and Last Jedi. So
exactly.
You know what? That would actually fit in a little more into the Evil Dead theming with Ash having a fake hand.
There you go.
Perfect. It's on theme. So do you have takes on actions that Miss Caroline did or actions that Mia did throughout, things you want to, because you said chainsaw to the face, which obviously is important.
Yes.
And she killed her own demon self.
What I like about Miss Caroline is that her character feels more human, more believable. As bad as it is to say, Mia almost feels like a caricature of someone in some points, especially when you get into the really messy diggings of this is an addict and whatnot. And the movie, admittedly, as much as I love it, is a little bit toothless in that regard. Whereas Miss Caroline is a lot more human. I resonate with her a little bit more because, let's be honest, the writing for her character is a little bit better. I don't know. I'm curious to hear your guys' takes on this one, on this particular topic.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Jesse, since you're taking Miss Caroline and I'm taking Mia, do you want to give your impressions and scores that we wrapped up from the episode about Miss Caroline?
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay. So for Miss Caroline, first of all, I'm Lupita bias anyway, because I've just always wanted to do the fight. So originally Lupita fought herself, just Reyna for some history. Lupita and Nyong'o from Little Monsters fought Adelaide from Us, which is the other Lupita. And Miss Caroline came out on top of that fight. I just feel like the biggest point that we had for Miss Caroline is that she has amazing composure. Under high stress, unpredictable situations, she was able to not only keep herself calm and happy appearing, but also wrangle a group of kindergartners in a seemingly completely horrific apocalyptic scenario and still play the ukulele and make them have fun and control the two other men who were losing their shit around her to get them on board to what's going on too. So I think that's where she kind of comes out on top, because a lot of these other girls are very trauma stricken and it makes them freeze and make bad decisions. Well, basically,
I'm glad you brought that up, because that is something that, even though Little Monsters doesn't work for me on a whole as a film, that's something I did like about it, is the tone of it. So Little Monsters is the type of movie that you can throw on a casual day and really enjoy yourself, and half of that is the tone. She's very bright. She's very uplifting. It's kind of a happy-go-lucky movie in a way, even though it's set in a horrific situation. Whereas Evil Dead is just, as much as I love this movie, it is a very overbearing, your mood is being brought down as you watch this. It is a metal album come to life. You know, those death metal albums.
Totally.
Yeah, it is.
Totally.
It is that come to life. So I will say I totally get where you're coming from, that like Miss Caroline makes the tone of that movie and is able to do kind of astonishing things in like that type of situation.
Yeah. And her kill count in that movie, like, I know that she's not the one I'm fighting for, but like her kill count in that movie, like, is significantly higher than a lot of final girls in the other bracket, in the other bracket this year.
That's true.
Or this season, not year.
That's true. I'm like totally like setting aside biases. She does a lot in that film.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, tell me all about Mia then, because I want to know. Yeah.
So yeah, from my perspective, here's as someone who's coming at this this fight in Mia's corner, I think the first thing that I'll say about Mia is that her identity as an addict, like, really, really kind of is the, like, the driving force in her, like, survival mechanisms, I feel like. Like, she has an addict's mentality, like, in the movie when she's, like, a deadite, right? When she has that, like, manipulation that a addict has, right? And she's able to kind of manipulate the emotions and the feelings of other people, right? And I think that when we were talking about this movie, we were talking about how, you know, we think that, you know, obviously Mia's not really even seen for most of the first or second act of the movie. Like, the third act of the movie is when she's like really buck wild and like comes back from being a deadite and is like, I'm here to fuck shit up. And like in the third act of her movie, she really proves that she's like down to go like pedal to the metal, balls to the walls to like get out of this situation and get on top of the situation. Right. And I think that, to her advantage, she, is the kind of person who has like nothing to lose. Right. And I think that Miss Caroline has a lot to lose.
I'd almost argue that that's a disadvantage. It's like, oh, I have nothing to lose, so I'm just going to fucking go for it. Whereas Miss Caroline is very aware of what she has at stake and makes calculated decisions.
Interesting. Okay. Okay. All right. Mm.
Oh, man. So I'm supposed to be rooting for... I'm supposed to be rooting for Evil Ben. What the fuck?
No, but you're refereeing.
Yeah, that's right.
She's the dark horse. Like, you don't expect Miss Caroline to be where she is in the bracket right now. Like, we didn't expect
And just hearing that take on Mia and whatnot in contrast with Miss Caroline, it's like, huh. I'm like, who has the better head on their shoulders in that situation?
Yeah.
So my other hot take about Mia is going to be that, like, because she is a recovered addict, she had to slay the beast within.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's something that Miss Caroline totally gets to do all the time, is like, look with it. She seems very like at peace with herself anyway, and seems good at controlling the situation. But like, sometimes when folks are like so outwardly performing all the time, how much inwardly are we reflecting?
Yeah.
Well, like, I don't know. That's just like a growth.
And I feel like Miss Caroline, for better or worse, is kind of in the same position she is at the end of the movie than she was at the start, just having experienced everything through it. Whereas Mia is just...
The stakes have changed. Yeah,
Mia is just totally fucking different by the end of that movie. Like, as far as arcs go, is definitely Mia over Miss Caroline. As far as having better head on their shoulders and making tactile decisions, Miss Caroline over Mia, for sure.
All right, well,
wow.
Should we get into it or what?
I mean, I think it's time to set the scene.
Set the scene, baby! Okay, so for context, for those of us who haven't been to a final episode, maybe you're new to this podcast, maybe you didn't listen to season one. If you haven't listened to season one, you should go do that. But if you don't want to go do that and you want to just finish this episode, let us explain to you how the final fight works. So if you listened to the last episode, which hopefully you did, you know that in order for our tier two and tier three to have sort of a playground with which to play, we and Jesse and I have created what we call a location and a spicy element as a way to set the scene for the fight. So Jesse has a bag of locations that she and I have kind of made up. Also, fun fact, some of Prince's locations are also still in there. So Prince might get a shout out in this episode. And then I have the spicy elements, and a spicy element is a chaotic element that's being introduced into the location to kind of amp up the stakes a little bit. So what's going to happen is Jesse's going to pull a location, and that is where we will fight. And then I will pull a spicy element, which will be the added element of chaos to the fight. And Reyna, you are welcome to veto any of these. So if we pull one and you think that's not where this fight is happening, you let us know.
Got it.
Yeah?
Got it.
Okay.
All right. We will begin with location.
Swag.
Okay. The location. Okay, this is an interesting one. The beach?
The beach?
The beach.
Okay.
It was one of mine.
It was, oh.
What do you think, Reyna?
What do you think,
Reyna? I'm going to veto that because nobody has equal footing on sand.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
That's totally fair. You know, we've had other interesting locations like a McDonald's playground or, like I said, on the stage of a Broadway musical.
I need a flat surface for my combatants.
Okay, I pulled one of Prince's.
Okay, what is it?
Okay.
And it is a massage parlor.
A massage parlor?
That kind of rules. Let's roll with it.
Massage parlor it is.
We'll set the scene with it once we get the spicy element, but I will
put that aside. I'm picturing like the acupuncture parlor from like Final Destination 5.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I think they'll be like, we'll discuss like what's actually in the room because I feel like I'm already seeing things in the room and I'm excited.
Okay, so I'm now going to pull the spicy element, a chaotic element to add to the fight. All
right.
And it's going to be this one because it's chonky. Everyone has hot dog fingers a la Everything Everywhere All at Once. Reyna, what's it going to be?
I'm vetoing it.
Okay. Spicy element round two. We vetoed our first spicy element. Let's do another spicy element. Here's our next spicy element. I think this is Prince. Clown shoes when running.
Oh my God.
Okay. Prince does these like conditional spicy elements. Like last time, what he did is that the floor is a piano when people are hiding. So only when they're hiding,
so it's like,
is the floor piano.
Okay.
So this one is people have clown shoes, but only when they're running.
Okay. Huh. Let's roll with it.
We're going to roll with it.
Oh, God. Okay.
We're rolling
we're
double
roll
Prince. The double Prince special.
Double Prince. I know. Shout out to Prince for these locations and spicy elements.
Well, also, like,
he found his way into
yeah,
the finale.
I think I'm going to, like, DM him later and go, like, dude, you fucking made that chaos.
I will also say, I wonder how often this is going to come into play because we're in a massage parlor, which is not very big. Mm. So I wonder how often they're like really going to be running. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe. Okay, so let's set the scene. So when we say massage parlor, what are we looking at here? Are we looking at like a cute little like spa and there's some tables with some massage stuff on it? There's maybe hot stones potentially.
Yes, I'm thinking it's a dimly lit room. There's some like melodic harp music going on. There's a little fountain, like a tiny one, like a desk fountain that makes a trickling sound.
Okay.
There's like, there's a table with the hole for your face. I like hot stones. I'm into that.
Hot stones.
You know, Reyna mentioned acupuncture. Acupuncture? Okay, I'm talking.
Acupuncture needles, potentially.
What else? I see an iPod dock. With like music playing on an iPod, something serene but can probably be changed to a more chaotic song as it goes on.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love it. Anything else?
Yeah. Is there anything else we need?
Like I picture wall paneling for some reason, like wood paneling on the wall. I don't know why.
Okay.
This massage parlor is like in the '70s in my mind.
Also, like, maybe, like, a little, like, divider for changing.
Yes.
Like, a little, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The little divider.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So, how does this fight even start?
Oh, man.
I have an idea.
Okay.
It's very weird.
Okay.
We usually come up with, like, a scenario as to why they would attack each other. You know what I mean? So, I'm wondering if, like, it starts as someone is getting a massage. Like, example, maybe Miss Caroline, after the stress of being in a zombie quarantine, leaves and to treat herself goes for a massage. So she is laying down face down on the table and she hears the door open. Hoomst walks in. Yeah.
But it's Mia?
Uh-huh. So Mia walks in to deliver the massage, I guess. And as she starts, maybe she like pull, she picks up like a hot stone and places on her, but it's like far too hot and like provokes Miss Caroline. She whips around. Time to fight.
So wait, is Miss Caroline in the nude?
Are they fighting naked?
Fuck. I think we had Maxine topless in the last
Maxine was topless in the last one, yeah.
You tell me, Reyna, you're the judge. What happens? Or should we not do hot stones and then she could be wearing clothes?
I say she's wearing clothes.
Okay.
The iPod that's playing serene music starts saying the Book of the Dead incantations. Because in Evil Dead Rise, we see that it doesn't matter what it's playing from. Mia gets possessed again.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You think Mia gets possessed in this fight?
Okay, hear me out. Mia gets possessed because her getting possessed in the movie was not a weakness.
Okay. I mean, I don't think so either. I think it gave her demon powers. But do demon powers come, like, do demon powers, like, is that in bounds?
I would say so because, like, the demons are like, yo, we recognize this body.
Okay. Okay, okay, so.
I love it because it, that means that Miss Caroline is going to be like, I fucking fought zombies before. Let's fucking
I
go,
have
bitch.
Dealt with yeah, this. Okay. Let's, okay. Let's roll with it.
Okay, so Mia all of a sudden is possessed by the spirit of the Deadites and is now going full feral, right? Mm-hmm. As a Mia Deadite, right? So I think what happens is that Mia, after she... so did we decide that she did the hot stone thing? Or how did the fight originally start again, Jesse?
Oh, yeah. I do like the hot stone. Like, she gets possessed as she has the hot stone and then gets violent with it.
And then puts it on her body. Okay, so I think that happens. And then Mia lifts up the stone and then, like, does, like, a weird, like, giggly, cackly laugh. Like, ah! You know what I mean? Like a fucking Deadite would, right? And then she says some fucked up shit. Like, some fucked up shit comes out of her mouth. Something like, I don't know, what's some vulgar bullshit that she can say? Oh, she'd say, what's it going to be?
Usually I'm, like, great at, like, vulgar insults, but I can't, like, fucking think of anything right now. She says,
She says something to the effect of, like, it's time for you to die, bitch, or whatever, right?
Oh, she's like, yeah, okay, yeah. Okay.
So then what does Lupita do in response to that?
Okay, so, yeah, to put this out, I'm going to be Miss Caroline, and you are representing Mia,
yes,
right?
Correct.
So that's kind of how we're going to play this. Okay, cool. So, but Miss Caroline, after she gets burned, she, like, whips around. She's on the table, so she's still on her back, technically.
Uh-huh.
On the table facing up now to the zombie or to the Deadite, pardon me, and and like looks her in the eyes and is like, oh, fuck, here we go. Now, last time in her movie, whenever she was first encountered a zombie, she did not hesitate. She fucking stabbed that motherfucker. So I think that what's going to happen is that she's going to like flip over to her back and then do like a double kick with her legs and kick Mia back to where she like hits the wall, and there's behind her is the iPod, right? So I kind of want her to hit the iPod, and I want it to like skip to like start playing a Taylor Swift song or something.
I
like,
love that. quick question: when she kicks, right, she's moving her feet fast, correct? Does that count as like clown shoe moment?
Oh, does she have clown shoes on?
So then she kicks with clown shoes? I think that would give her more surface area.
So because
area.
She's kicking, it's counting as her feet moving fast, and she kicks Mia with the clown shoes, knocking her into the iPod that switches to a Taylor Swift song from the incantation. So it goes, Condor, and then kicks into like one of the, like Taylor Swift songs.
Shake it off.
Yeah.
Shake it off.
Shake it off.
There you go. I just needed the mental representation of Miss Caroline kicking her with the clown shoes.
We appreciate it.
But
okay.
Another quick question: when the feet aren't moving fast, do they turn back to normal shoes? Because Princess Singh did say clown shoes when running. So they're like going
I believe they turn.
They're
back.
Fluctuating.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
So normal shoes when not running
or moving your feet fast.
Okay, cool. So I think that what happens is that Mia gets fucking slapped up against the wall, but she's in demon mode. So I think that she like clings onto the wall like a little feral little raptor.
Ooh.
And then she lets out like a you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then she drops to the floor on all fours. And I think that she moves towards Miss Caroline on all fours.
Okay, on all, but Miss Caroline's still on top of the table.
Yes.
So is she under the table?
She's under the table. Like, I would say she's under the table. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then she's under the table, and what she does is she reaches her hand through the hole in the table, and she grabs Miss Caroline by the hair.
Oh, my God. Oh, Christ. Okay, I'm so scared for her. Yeah, that's so scary.
What happens next, J-Dog?
Okay, so Lupita falls backwards, hits her head on the back of the board, and is like, oh, fuck, like, we're not fucking around. Mm-hmm. And so I think she's going to, presuming that the deadite lets go of her hair, mm-hmm. She rolls off the table on the other side, mm-hmm. so, like, not closer to where Mia is, mm-hmm. to look at, like, the shelf that's below where the iPod is, mm-hmm. and is kind of, like, looking to see if she can grab something. Mm-hmm. And I think what she grabs is going to be, let's see, let's do, should we try to grab a needle? I don't know if this is where the acupuncture needles
I'll
are.
I'll allow it.
Let's, yeah?
I'll allow okay, thank it. You. Thank I'm, you, I'm referee. So,
okay, so I think she grabs some needles, and I think that where she puts them, though, because she doesn't want to, like, harm herself, is sort of like a girl walking alone at night, keys in the fist situation,
oh.
a la Wolverine.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Yeah, and kind of grabs, like, three of them, and is, like, kind of shoving them to, like grabs them, has them in between her knuckles to turn around to then try to, like, what's that? Do one of these, a jab. Sorry, this is an audio medium. To jab at the.
For those of you listening, Jesse was thrusting their fist back and forth on the video.
So,
thank you.
Does she make contact?
Does she, Raina?
She makes contact.
With the deadite?
She makes contact, but I'm going to slip this in. Mia just fucking eats it. Like, she, like, absorbs the entire
she,
thing.
She, like, swallows
yeah,
the needles.
She's just like. Like, they go through and they poke out the other side of her mouth and, like sort of almost akin to the box cutter splitting her tongue. Like, she's like, oh, you gotta do more than that.
All right. Fuck it up. Okay, my
All
turn.
Right, what does Mia do?
Yeah. Okay, so Mia's eating needles. She's having a good time crunching on them needles. So I think she's clearly trying to, like, logic her way out of the situation, right? Miss Caroline has clearly got a good shoulder on her head, right? Or got a good shoulder on her head. got a good head on her shoulders. And I think that what Mia does is, like, I'm going to play into the, like Miss Caroline's, like, sweet underbelly, right? Her, like, soft, kind-hearted woman. And so I think what she does is she, like, turns back into Mia for a second. And she goes, like, why would you do that? And she just starts to cry and, like, sob and be like, why? Like, why did you do that to me?
She goes, why did you do that? Because all the blood's running down her mouth.
Yeah. Exactly. And so I think she starts crying. And then I think it's Lupita's move next. And by Lupita, I mean Miss Caroline.
Oh, my gosh. So I think Miss Caroline, like, startled by how quickly she switched into being a sweet girl, uh-huh. like, moves her hand back and is like, fuck. And I think she kind of stands up and kind of backs away a little bit mm-hmm. Because she's sort of like, and as she's doing that, she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't recognize, you know, like, yeah. And as she's kind of like backing up, yeah, I think she's kind of backing up towards maybe the other side of the board where there's like another wall with the fountain and like mm-hmm. some other stuff going on. Mm-hmm. But she's kind of just backing up a little bit to where she knows she has access to other things, but she's not going to grab anything just yet because she's monitoring
yeah.
the sitch.
Okay. Yeah. I think the situation escalates from there. And I think that Mia starts laughing, doing a little deadite laugh, you know. She starts giggling and turns back into a deadite. And I think that she then, like, pounces onto Miss Caroline, like, physically pounces, like, her whole body onto Miss Caroline, so that way they're now on the ground.
Okay. Is that cool, mm-hmm. Raina?
Yep. Okay. I haven't blown the whistle just yet.
Okay. So Mia is on top of Miss Caroline at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, we're currently on the floor, sort of, like, behind where the table is. Mm-hmm. I think if Miss Caroline looks to the side, because currently, you know, she's face-to-face with a deadite. Mm-hmm. And when she looks to her side, I feel like she sees maybe where the little fountain is. Maybe there are some, like, I don't know, pebbles and shit like that at the bottom of mm-hmm. it that she can kind of, like, reach for and grab. Mm-hmm. Is this okay right now?
Yes, it is, but they're very small, okay, because it is like a tabletop fountain, like you said.
If right, so if I keep reaching, is there anything else I can grab?
Next to the fountain?
Yeah, like on the floor, because I'm on the floor.
Yes. There's a box of massage oils.
Okay, things might get a little slippery.
That's
up
all
in
I'm
here.
Gonna say. I am saying that the item is there. Do with it what you want.
Okay. What I do with it, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I think I'm gonna be reaching around. You're kind of like in my face with your like tongue out, being crazy,
yeah.
And I'm reaching around to. I feel the water of the fountain. I'm like, no. And then I reach to the side and I find the box of massage oils and like pull out a bottle. And I think I'm just gonna try to whack you over the head with it.
Okay.
If this is an if this is a massage therapy place, mm-hmm. I think that this would be kind of a bigger bottle, right? Because they might buy like Costco sized mm-hmm. shit. Okay. So like. I'll try to like hit you over the head to try to get you off of me. Mm-hmm. That's my attempt.
Okay. I think that I stumble off of you and then I crawl to the corner of the room and I'm like, feral, right? And then I think what happens from there is that I go over to so I'm in the corner of the room. You just grab the massage oils, right? So you have massage oils in your corner. We know that from before there was the hot stones and then potentially maybe towels. So I think what Mia does is she grabs a towel and she grabs the towel and she starts to like tighten it up to like hit her with it. You know what I mean? And okay. I think that what Mia does is she grabs a towel and like tightens it up and then she like tries to jump behind her to like choke her out with the towel.
Allowed.
Great. Okay. Perfect.
Wait. Yeah, I was going to say, she's still on the floor, correct?
Correct. Wait. Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Maybe I could be in the process of standing because you had time to whip up the towel.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, I'm sort of either on my knees or on, like, my hands and knees, mm-hmm. and you're kind of, like, behind me with the towel. Mm-hmm. Does that sound correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, first off, I'm struggling.
Uh-huh.
I'm kind of grabbing at the towel with one hand if I'm on all fours, and then I try to sit up. Maybe I'm going to try to see if I can, like, knock you backwards mm-hmm. with the momentum of my body. Mm-hmm. potentially trying to do, like, a headbutt in reverse, uh-huh. if that makes sense, mm-hmm. To try to, like, knock you aside. And I'm sort of pulling at the towel, but I think that it is getting to me a little bit,
okay.
like, potentially cutting off oxygen mm-hmm. and, like, I'm, like, blacking out a little.
Mm-hmm.
But, in my sights, I think, I can see the rest of the hot stones, like, in a little basket or something, mm-hmm. like, across the way. So maybe, like, what I'm trying to do is get towards that as much as I can. So I'm, like, knocking, I'm thrashing, and I'm sort of crawling towards hot stones.
Okay.
That's where I'm at right now.
Okay. I think that at this point, I think that I'm winning, right? So I think that I'm doing a little
–
I think that I'm doing, like, a maniacal little laughter, and I'm like, hee-hee-hee, you know? And I think that I start to, I think I start to sing some kind of demonic demon song. Like, I don't know what that looks like, but you know how, like, she sings the lullaby in the movie?
She's singing.
You don't want to sing
yeah,
with Taylor
she's singing
Swift?
A demonic version of the Taylor Swift song, almost, like, mocking
yes.
the situation.
Exactly. Mm, yeah.
Which, yeah, is terrifying for Miss Caroline because in her zombie world, that made the zombies calm down
yes.
when she played music. Mm-hmm. So clearly that's not going to work.
Yes. Okay.
Mia.
So Mia's singing a demon song. She's choking her out, right? She's grabbing for stones. I think that something's got to give. Either Mia's got to lose grip or Miss Caroline's got to throw a blow. Which one's going to happen?
Reyna, you go.
The towel has been used a lot. The towel rips.
Okay. So does Miss Caroline break free?
Yes. Briefly. Like, she's got, like, a quick moment to, like, break free.
Okay. I'll hand it to you, Jay.
Okay. If Miss Caroline breaks free, she is, like, probably closer to the basket than she's ever been, grabs the largest stone that's been in her sights,
uh-huh.
and she's going to try to whip around and bash this bitch's head in.
Damn.
Like,
damn.
Because I think that because of the force that was pulling, that Mia was pulling back on the towel, she probably fell back mm-hmm. when it broke.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that Miss Caroline's going to try to get the upper hand with the biggest stone and is going to go for, like, full-on head injury.
Mm.
And she's going to say something like, shake this off, bitch.
I like it. Okay.
But I don't know if that actually happens. So.
I wish I, what are we thinking, Raina? I wish I had a D20 with me.
We could have Siri roll a D20. Yes,
have Siri
roll
a D20.
Okay.
If it is above 12, she's successful.
Okay, shit. Okay. Okay. What's it going to be? What's it going to be?
Hey, Siri, roll a D20. Does she know how to do that? Oh, she did roll it, and it's hilarious. It's a 10.
That's a fail.
Which is so close, but it's a fail.
So where does that leave us right now?
Yeah.
Where would we just end the fight? Where did we just end?
Miss Caroline tried.
Does this mean that
try to grab one of the stones?
And it didn't work.
It didn't work. Mia is getting back up.
Okay. So Mia's getting back up, and I think that what Mia does is, correct me if I'm wrong, but when she throws the stone, instead of it, or she was trying to bash her on the head with it, right, Jesse?
She was, but maybe what happens is she, like, threw it instead and missed. I think that's kind of the 10.
I think what happens is that when she threw it, Mia caught it. I think Mia caught the stone, and then I think that she Uno reversed her and started bashing Miss Caroline in the head with the rock.
Nah, roll a d20 for that stone catch. That's a little too situational.
Okay. Roll a d20. What's the number?
The number is... Okay, she's throwing it to her. Mia's got the demon powers. 8.
Okay.
It's 8 this time.
That's a success. Holy Mia shit. Catches the stone.
Damn. I think... Well, you know how I think the fight ends?
Yeah, hit me with it.
I think hit me with it. I think that Mia catches the stone. She bashes Miss Caroline's head in while maniacally laughing. And then what happens is that Mia phases it, like the deadite leaves Mia, and she's left with this pile of Miss Caroline going, holy shit, what did I do?
The deadite leaves Mia because the Taylor Swift song ends. It goes to the next track and it's the rest of the incantation and it leaves her body.
Damn. Which means Mia from 2013's Evil Dead is this season's final girl standing!
Final girl standing! Oh my gosh. Okay, wait. This is hilarious because whose playlist is this?
whose iPod shuffle?
It turns out that the massage parlor is owned by Mason Davies from Evil Dead Rise, and that's why he had the Book of the Dead on the iPod.
Amazing.
Oh my god, that was crazy. I love Raina. Thank you for introducing the element of the d20. I think that really upped the game.
I like that because this was a little bit reminding me of D&D, and I was like, no, that's a little too situational. Let's roll for that.
Yes.
No, it felt very appropriate and very fair.
Yes.
Way to go, unbiased.
Unbiased judging. Really nailed that judging.
I'm not going to lie. I thought Miss Caroline really had it, and...
I did too.
I also thought she had it.
The clown shoes didn't affect them that much because one, Miss Caroline is very calculated in her movements, and two, Mia crawls.
Mm-hmm. Mia was crawling. Yeah, Mia was crawling. Damn.
I am so thankful you guys let me have it be Deadite Mia fighting because I'm like.
I know that really changed the game.
Like, let's give them an actual reason to fight.
All right. Well, thank you for being on our podcast. Thank you for being here today. We need to wrap up our pod the only way we know how, and that is with the appreciation station. So, chugga 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 chugga.
What is that sound, Alyssa?
That's the appreciation train rolling into the appreciation station, Jesse. Thank you, as always, to Devin McNaughton and the Burly Girlies for giving us your amazing vocal musical talents to open up our podcast with a bang. So thank you to those two, or those two sexy individuals. And by those two, I mean Devin and the entity that is Burly Girlies.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like one band, but really it's Devin doing the intro and the Burly Girlies doing the song. Thank you. We love you. Thank you to Prince Jackson, our pod father, for making this podcast a thing. And thank you to the Goodnight Network for having us on the network. It is a joy, as always. And you want to go into general gratitudes?
Yeah, some general gratitudes. I want to thank Well, first of all, I want to thank Raina, but we'll get there in a second. So hold up before we thank Raina. The first general gratitude I want to give, as always, is to Jesse for being my best friend and also knowing how the technology works, because I don't. And if it wasn't for Jesse, this podcast wouldn't be recorded every week and edited every week and sent to all of you on your favorite podcasting platforms every week. So thank you, Jesse, for not only understanding technology, but also being my friend. And also, I want to give a general gratitude to just everyone who joined us this season. I think that we have a couple more listeners than we did last season, which I think is pretty cool. So thank you for that. And I know Jesse's going to explicitly thank the listener here in a moment. But my final gratitude will go to Raina. Thank you for signing up to be on this ridiculous podcast. I know that the concept of this podcast seems a little silly. And you might have had questions coming in. And I'm glad that you, instead of being reasonable and saying this is a weird experience, just went with it and went with the flow. And you were an amazing addition to this podcast. I couldn't have thought of a better way to end season two than with you on our podcast. Well, so those are my general gratitude.
Absolutely crushed it.
Thank you both.
I want to thank Alyssa for coming up with this idea, my sweet best friend and like the genius behind the show. I want to thank everyone for their patience, because I know this is coming out a week later than we normally do finale, so we're really building up that
tension,
anticipation element.
Yeah.
But like, life happens and that's how it is, and now you get to enjoy this fight, and I'm just like so honored that y'all are here. I'm so honored that Raina joined us, because you're just so cool and it's so amazing to meet you, and how like wickedly accomplished you are.
I know.
And it's like the fact that you took time to not only do this pod with us but also spend like 40 minutes troubleshooting is a real like, you know, a real gift. So thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you both for having me. I very much had a good time, and it was wonderful to get to know both of you. I am a storyteller at my core, so this was almost a great exercise, and
I loved it.
I'm glad I could introduce the D20 element. I hope that comes back. I hope somebody brings that back.
I know. We might have to bring that back in future seasons, the D20 element.
Especially in situations where we can't decide what the heck's going to happen. Yeah. Like, D20 is
Just like Chris Pine says, when in doubt, just roll a D20 and see what happens.
I haven't seen the film yet.
He doesn't film. Say it in the movie, but, you know.
Oh, JK.
I believe he said it like in an interview, but you know, it's like, why not introduce a random element?
Do you have anything you're thankful for, Raina, that you want to call out?
Yeah, I'm just thankful that people think I'm very accomplished and that I have the reputation that I have. I'm super thankful that Bloody Disgusting and Fangoria took chances on me, and super thankful for my buddy Prince for bringing this all together.
Shout out.
He is such a kind soul. Mm-hmm. I love him to death. Would do anything for him.
Same.
We feel similarly. Yeah. have you completed your gratitude?
That's all I can think of right now.
Amazing. Thank you for sharing. And thank you to the listener, of course. Thank you so much for joining us on season two of Final Girl Standing. How is this even possible? I don't even know. We are so psyched for you to join us in future seasons, potentially bracket season, or not bracket seasons. What is it called? Franchise seasons?
Franchise season.
Yeah, which would be incredible. But in order to close this out, Alyssa, can you sort of take it away?
So if you want to follow us on the social medias, we really encourage you to do so. So that way you can hear about season three and when it's coming out and what the bracket's going to be. This season, people got into this bracket because you asked for them. The current working theory is that season three is going to be franchise girl season. So if there's a particular franchise girl that you really want to see in season three, let us know over on Twitter at finalgirl_pod or over on Instagram at finalgirlstandingpod. So that's where you can find us on social media. And speaking of social media, Raina, what is your social media that the people can follow you on?
So you can follow me on everything, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, as I roll my eyes and all that stuff at JFC Doomblade. You can also find my work being published pretty regularly, video game reviews, that bloody disgusting. I just reviewed Redfall. It's not great, but if that's not your thing, you can always check out my writing at Fangoria, where I have the weekly Yellow Jackets column, The Buzz, where you can catch up on,
that's so cool.
Yeah, where you can catch up on all your favorite gays and goths.
Amazing. And also, when it comes to the social medias, just remember that your liking and sharing and interacting really helps us out. And it also makes us feel like you care about our podcast. So appreciate it to everyone who does that out there on the pods. With that said, there isn't a final verses that we can tell you about next week, because we won't be here next week because this is the last episode of the season. So to send us off for season two of Final Girl Standing, the podcast, we have to, as always, give a moment of silence for our fallen final girl. That is Lupita Nyong'o, Miss Caroline from Little Monsters. Lupita, we love you. We respect you. And it's time to give you your moment of silence. Ready? Silence. Amen.
Amen. Ugh, Lupita Nyong'o till I die. Listen, for real, listen. You guys.
She may come back. She is joining the Quiet Place franchise. So,
oh,
did you all not know about that?
What are you saying?
Oh,
A Quiet Place is like one of my favorite. So, franchises.
A Quiet Place Day One, the new spinoff film. Lupita's the lead in it.
Fuck. Well, this is great news. This is great news, everyone. Congratulations to Mia, but thank God that Lupita might be back.
Yes, congratulations, Mia. You are the final girl, finalist girl, final girl standing. There we go.
It's the name of the podcast.
It's the name of the podcast. Okay.
All right. Thank you. Love you. Bye. See you in season three, bitches.
See you in season three.